So Robert Lighton said this, sin is first pleasing, then it grows easy, then delightful, then frequent, then habitual, then confirmed. Then the man is impenitent, then he is obstinate, then he is resolved never to repent, and then he is ruined. And that's interesting because the ultimate result of sin, if we don't check it, is we defend it. That which we first felt guilty about, if we stay at it, we'll ultimately defend it as being okay, legitimate, or not my fault. Proverbs chapter 6, turn there with me, please. Talking about this progression, Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 23, please. We'll see a progression here. For the commandment is a lamp, thy commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman. Now pay attention here. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So it begins with flattery. What is flattery all about? It's about assuaging our and petting our ego and our pride. So it begins with flattery. It says, lust not after her beauty. Oh, and then we have beauty. Neither let her take thee with her, what? Her eyelids, her batting eyes. So it begins with compliments to the ego. Then it moves to physical signs of interest. For by means, verse 26, of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. In other words, you have the value of a piece of bread. That's it. So we have this image of, oh, you're so special, so you're so amazing, I don't know anybody else like to you, to then physical attraction. And then the next thing you know, the result of all of that is, guy, you're worthless. You're absolutely worthless. And it goes on there. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? You see, there is this progression, and at the end of the progression is a burn. You may get away with it once. You may get away with it twice. We may get away with it a bunch, but at some point, it's going to burn. Sin always has a consequence. It always has a price tag. The wages of sin is what? Death. You notice it doesn't say the wages of sins is incremental degrees of discomfort. It's death. When we sin, it's like we're putting a little knife right in part of our conscience and our character. It's most sin is so self-inflicted. I mean, there's a few things that we get invited to partake in, but sin is almost always self-inflicted. The Bible talks about those who love money, and they said because of their love of money, they have pierced themselves through with a multitude of sorrows. Nobody else pierced them. They got caught up in the sin of greed. And what do? They inflict themselves with wounds. Sin is progressive. It robs us of our spiritual vitality. It keeps us in guilt. It steals our joy. It crushes our peace. It extinguishes our zeal. It disqualifies. We feel disqualified from use. How many of you, after you've done something you really know you shouldn't do and you're really feeling bad about it, are all on fire to go witness to somebody? It's about the last thing on our minds. How could I even be saved and do this? Let alone go tell somebody else about being saved. So what's it like to be a Christian? Well, you experience a lot of failure. That's not the message we want to have. We're called to live victoriously. That's what we're called to. Sin is just this thing that we give place to that robs us of all that God has called us to be. It's a terrible trade-off. It's a terrible transaction. It's progressive. And lastly, it ultimately is, it's possessive. it ultimately comes down, sin's ultimate goal is to dominate the life. To have the, I'll tell you what, I worked undercover a bit and worked, and of course undercover, you're buying drugs from people and they don't know that you're a police officer, ideally. It's always better if they don't. And when you do, I was sitting in the back seat of a car buying heroin, and I had on my right and on my left two young ladies that were prostitutes, and they would do anything for drugs. Anything. Their life wasn't around dreams and hopes and future. It wasn't around even things like material things. Their whole life was, how will I get the drugs the next time? Ultimately, that sin of addiction possessed them. They would do anything to get it. They would do anything. And Wayne, has that changed at all? Not a bit. People that get to this point, but folks, we can all get to that point about our own sin, where we will do things to protect it, and we will think of it instead of thinking of God and others. It is possessive overall. In Genesis, Abraham is having this discussion with God because God says, Sodom and Gomorrah have cried out to me. Their sin is grievous. And Abraham negotiates with God and says, well, if there are 50 and 45, and he gets all the way down to 10. If there are 10 in the city, will you save it? God says, if there's 10, I'll save it. But you know what? There wasn't 10. There wasn't 10. There was not even 10. And in Genesis chapter 19, turn there with me, please. When you have a city where you can't find 10, that's a lot of iniquity. It had consumed the city. In Genesis 19 and verse 15, it says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters. By the way, the other daughters and sons-in-law had declined to go, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the, what? Iniquity of the city. The city's iniquity had literally consumed it, controlled it, dominated it. In John 8:34, Jesus answered and said, very, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant to sin. And there are so many other passages in Romans and other places that talk about how we should not yield our members to unrighteousness. Because when we do, we become the slave to that sin. The whole concept, well, not the whole concept, but a big part of the concept of redemption is that Jesus Christ, who has shed blood on the cross, has redeemed us from the slave market of sin. He bought us from sin's bondage, paid the price, and then he didn't pay it, buy it and then just say, okay, now I own you. He bought it and then he said, will you accept me? What a beautiful picture. And see, he says, you don't have to be a slave. How bad of a story is it when a Christian who has been redeemed from that and bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin, and profess their allegiance to Christ, runs back to that slave market? Folks, when we go to sin, we walk over that filthy, nasty slave market and say, I want to be in. I want to be in for a minute, because sin is pleasurable for a season. And we walk away behaviorally from this, the beauty of Christ. Folks, are we? When do we make that trek? What in your life takes you back? It's the same question I've asked myself all week long. When do I make that? And is it a rarely used path, or is it a superhighway of behavior? Paul says, should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Folks, we will never be what God wants us to be if we harbor sin in our hearts. And I don't know a thing about any of you. But you do. And like the psalmist, God desires truth in our inward parts. The only person that can deal with sin in a life is the person whose life it is. I have mine. I want less. And you have yours. And I hope you want less. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you've got all of yours. And you'll never have less until you accept Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to come to those, if you've never accepted Christ, He wants to come to you and literally, God wants to apply to your life the beautiful righteousness of Christ and clothe you in His righteousness and adopt you as His son or daughter and make you joint heirs with His son and have a beautiful future and an eternity that is set and secure. So if you've never accepted Christ, then you're still over here in this slave market. But the price has been paid to buy you out. You just have to accept it. For us as Christians that have accepted it, let's live the reality of the redemption we've received every day. Man, what a challenge it is for us. In 2 Peter, I'll just read this verse for the sake of time, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, Peter says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. You see, sin becomes possessive. They're so full of it, they can't cease from it. Beguiling unstable souls and heart that have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. It is possessive. James talks about the progress of sin. He says, we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Our lust sees something over this. In this world, you will have no shortage of things to lust after. Our lust sees something over there, and it runs over there, and it stands next to this thing, and it starts petting it, and starts saying to our will, you want it? Come on over. That's what this describes. And it's like a bait on a hook. And if we surrender our will to our lust, and we marry our will with our lust and that thing, then we have given birth to death through sin. Check James chapter 1. That's what it says. So drug addiction, gambling addiction, sex addiction, alcohol addiction, pride addiction, victim addiction, gossip addiction, go on and on. They're called addictions because they start out as little teeny threads and they become chains. And that's what Satan wants. That's what he wants all the time. But for the Christian, that's not our calling. Praise God, that's not our calling. So I guess this morning, I want to challenge you, as I've been challenged this week, to look at your life and don't use the world standard. Don't use the standard compared to other people. Don't use the standard compared to your family. Don't use the standard compared to your history or your legacy or anything else. Use the standard called holiness and look at your life and I'll look at my life and go, I need to get rid of that. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a disposition. Maybe it's a habit, a behavior. Maybe it's something you're holding on too tight to, or something that you're refusing to grab onto, like the Word of God, truth. Whatever it is, you know, and the Holy Spirit knows. And God wants us to be like His Son. He does that. We are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. So we are working in concert with God when we deal with our sin. We are working in beautiful harmony with His plan and His will when we deal with our sin. Again, I didn't bring this sermon this morning because I know of anybody's anything. But there was a time back in England, I forget the guy's name that did it, but he wrote a letter to 10 people, 10 prominent people. It was back in the 1800s. He just wrote a letter and sent it and said, all is known, you should flee. He knew nothing. He just wrote a letter. All is known. You should flee. 7 of the 10 fled. Well, God's writing us a letter. All is known. We should repent. Amen? And I'll tell you what. There is a joy in repentance that is just beautiful. Like David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. And he goes on and says, and if you do, God, then after that, I will tell transgressors about you. I will have a witness before them for you. I will be a testifier of your goodness, God. But I got to get restored first. Let's look for a restoration this morning. Let's look for revitalization this morning. Let's look for the fire that should be inside of us to be burning hot. Hot and bright. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you today. God, you will not leave us as we are. And I'm glad for that. God, you call us to the refining fire, to the furnace, to drive out the dross of sin. Lord, it's like the search for leaven before the Passover, God. Let us, I pray, dear God, search our hearts in concert with your Holy Spirit and lay those things that are in the way of Christ-likeness aside. God, I pray that we would set aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Let us do that, I pray, that we might look to Jesus with clear conscience and a bright eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together, please. Let's turn to 343. 343, just as I am. If God has laid on your heart a desire to do something this morning, I pray that you would do that. Whatever it is, if it's come and pray or pray right where you're at, if it's something you have to make right with somebody else, do that. Give them a call. Don't wait for them to say they're sorry. Just do your part. Seek peace, just as I am.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
If God's tugging on your heart, don't wait for anybody else. Don't wait for anybody else. This is all about you and the Lord. Amen. Stanza 2.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Stanza 5, please.
Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Amen. Praise God that he loves us, doesn't give up on us, and wants us to be like Christ. And he's going to keep working on us until we come, until Christ comes back and we see him. Then we're going to be just like he is. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you for this morning, God. Lord, the best news about sin is that it has been defeated. The sin and death have been defeated, and God, we can know the victory that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that we would just live truly, Lord, the reality of that redemption. Let us celebrate, dear God, in our lives and with those around us, dear God, the goodness that comes from you. And help us, dear Lord, I pray, to guard against sin and, Lord, to keep it from our lives, that we might represent you in a true way, dear God, I pray. I give you the glory and the praise, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you for the forgiveness, dear Lord, that you have given to me. And God, I just pray that you would just give us a peace that passes understanding as we leave here today. In Christ's name, amen.